Lord, we pray for your grace tonight. You are living and speaking, Father. Leave it open, it's too hot. Appear to us in this word tonight. Sit down. We pray that we not just read your word, but that it strengthens us to run this race, that we can receive an exceeding entrance into your kingdom. Praise the Lord for the kingdom of heaven. It's so good. The kingdom of God is often maybe a term that we use, but in these days, the Lord really wants to bring us into the reality of what it means for us. What does it mean to be sons of the kingdom? What does it mean to be sons of the Father living here on earth, but in the kingdom of heaven? That is our desire. We don't just want to read this chapter to understand it, but I have the desire to live in this reality, to live in the kingdom. The constitution of the law, if you know it, then what for? So that you can live it out. And that's exactly what the Lord wants to do in this time. It's not about knowing, okay, this is what this means, and this is what that means, and this is how you interpret this. Much more, we need a prayer that says, Lord Jesus, teach me how to live in this kingdom today. And the Lord will show us not only his kingdom, but he will show us according. Yeah, he shows us his righteousness, we see in the benedictions, and also the effect of our righteousness, what that looks like to live righteously, what it looks like to seek first the kingdom of God. And then he shows us a way how to achieve it. The Lord doesn't show a high standard, maybe even an unachievable standard. No, he also shows you two different paths how to get there. This is so precious, because how does the kingdom of heaven come? Often I thought, okay, yeah, your kingdom come. So somehow the kingdom will one day just come down on earth. And I will watch, I will observe, I might have even a nice viewpoint from which to watch it. But this is a wrong concept, a false concept. Because the kingdom of God is not just that it comes down all of a sudden, but it is a path leading forward. The entrance into the kingdom of God is like a path. What do you do with a path? You follow it. You walk on a path. You follow a path. That's why the Lord showed us here at the end in Matthew 7, if you want to enter into the kingdom, there is a path and you must follow it. And there's also a path that leads to perdition, that leads us away from the kingdom. How does this passage begin with this narrow path? He says, enter in through the narrow gate. And in Luke 13, the Lord even says, really strive to be able to go through the narrow gate. Why does the Lord have to say that? Why do we really have to fight for it? Why do we have to strive for it? There's a verse in Matthew 11, verse 12. It shows it even more clearly. Matthew 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The violent take it by force. So there's here something that you need to become violent about, that you must to use violence to take it by force. Why? First of all, because it's not something cheap. It's the greatest, most precious thing that there is. And the other thing is, it is suffering violence. It's under siege. We will have more fellowship about this tomorrow, but the enemy will try everything in his power to keep you away from the kingdom. And he has many means. If you have crucified your flesh once, what's your experience? Does that mean that the enemy leaves you alone forever and ever and your flesh never gets stirred up? No. He tries it again and again, stir up your flesh. With the world, at one time I thought, yeah, I don't have any problem. I don't have any problem. I don't love money. I don't like work. That's not my world. That's not my life. But then a situation pops up, and the devil tries to steal your heart with these things. And it's not always the bad things, like we heard this morning. There are so many things in our everyday life that keep you so busy that in the end you forget about the kingdom of God. Oh Lord, that's why the Lord says, really fight to enter into the narrow gate. For here it's not about redemption or eternal life, but it's about entering into the kingdom, to getting the reward when the Lord comes back. The eternal life. Did you have to fight to receive eternal life? It's a gift. A gift of grace. We believed. The Lord died for us. For God so loved the world that everyone who believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is very good. You don't have to use force to receive eternal life. But then it continues. After we have received eternal life, there is a way. And the goal is the kingdom of God. When the Lord comes back, he wants to give us a reward to reign together with him in his kingdom. And for that, we really have to fight. That should be our experience. And it's the same. It was the same with the people of Israel. When God led the people of Israel out of Egypt, he really carried them. He supplied them like a father. As God is their father, he carried them, he protected them, and then they came to the good land. What was their experience like in the good land? Could they just stroll on in and then take over the good land and everything was good? No, they had to fight. They had to take it by force. And as soon as one enemy was conquered, they had to conquer the next. And that's exactly the same with the kingdom of heaven. We need to take this land, to conquer this land. That's why the Lord shows us in Matthew 7 to go through the narrow gate so that we're not surprised, but that we see that it really takes effort. When do you use force? When do you strive hard for something? When you don't care about it? If I don't care about something, I'm not going to work hard for it. When we're eating, there's lots of good food here. There's dessert. When the dessert comes, it's empty. When I come to get my dessert, the bowls are empty. But I don't care because it's not important to me. I'm not the first one to run to fill my cup with dessert. But how is it with the kingdom of heaven? We can read a verse in Luke 14. Verse 25 to 28. Luke 14, verses 25 to 28. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, his mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? In verse 25, we see here there were many multitudes going with him. It must have been a very wide path where lots of people could fit on, if a great multitude of people could follow him. And then the Lord says, then the Lord shows them a narrow gate. He says, if anyone comes to me, does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Then he brings the two parables of the man who wants to build a tower and the king who wants to make war. You have to estimate the costs. It's the same with the kingdom of heaven. We read these verses in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Right? This is a decision that you have to make. I consecrate myself to you for your kingdom. I hope that in these days the Lord would really open our eyes for his kingdom, that we seriously enter into prayer and really make a decision to give ourselves completely to the Lord and for his kingdom. If I don't do that, and every time I have to reconsider, will I seek first the kingdom of God? Will I not? And the next day, another situation, what's first today? The kingdom and his kingdom. You better be good. The kingdom, or maybe other things. Every time I have to reconsider, that won't go good for long. It will be very difficult. Every time I have to make such a decision, you have to do that one time. The Lord, that's what the Lord here means with estimating the costs. Lord, my whole life, what we heard this morning. Whether I'm single or whether I have a family, it doesn't matter what family status I have, Lord, I give myself completely for you and your kingdom. That is my highest goal. That is precious. And that's necessary. Because otherwise we may be encouraged and we might be burning for the kingdom now, next week as well. But then we find ourselves on a wide path. The Lord didn't list off bad things here. They're normal things, building a tower, right? But it's a matter of things in our heart. What do I live for? That's why the Lord here shows us this way. That the gate is wide and the path is wide, broad. Recently, I was in a situation. I thought, okay, I somehow have to split myself into, have to clone myself. There's work, there's meetings, there's fellowship, there's this and that. At home, there's family life. There's so many things to do. Lord, things get complicated because it's a very broad path, but the narrow path doesn't mean that we neglect all these other things, but our heart is focused upon one thing only. Amen. And the Lord shows us here in verse 14, the narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. And there are few who find it. And there are really things that we have to do to the very end. This path, you really have to follow it. You have to walk along it. The Lord didn't say this is a path that leads to the kingdom. This is a path that leads to life, is what he says. And what does this show us? That life doesn't just come at the very end, but that there is a path of life. That means today, if I'm strengthened in the Lord and I'm nourished and I'm living, but then I neglect these things next week. I neglect reading the Word, gathering food from the Word. When I stop to abide in the source of life and to drink of the Lord, then sooner or later, I will find myself ending up on the broad path. Then all I have left are maybe some good counsels and maybe even good verses, even out of the Constitution here. In the work, when we talk about customers, we often use the phrase, we're going to go the extra mile for our customers. But it's so dead. It's so meaningless. It's so false. But if I don't stay in the way of life, if I am not nourished in the Lord, then all I have left are good rules. Can I lead a Christian marriage with good rules? This afternoon, we saw it can never be led apart from the Lord. Apart from the Lord, we can do nothing. Amen. Praise the Lord. The narrow path is a way leading to life. And if we walk the narrow path to the kingdom of heaven, then that means, Lord, I need to stay in life, to nourish myself continuously from life. And the narrow path also means that I have to be continuously willing to deny my soul life. That means it always costs a price. If I'm not willing, for the Lord's sake, to pay the price, then eventually I will land on the broad path, the narrow path. We read, we have to leave your own life. You have to deny your own life, leave even your own life. And that can have many nuances. Maybe earlier leaving my soul life meant that in the morning I got up earlier and didn't sleep in so that I could take time to read the Bible and spend with the world in the Word. But you know, as a student or as a pupil, I anyways didn't have any plans in the morning. So that was denying my soul life. Today my situation is different. I must get up much earlier than I did, and then I really have to use the time that I have before I have to go to work to spend time with the Lord. Or maybe my soul wants to do something nice. But I didn't ask the Lord, Lord, is this what I need to do? Is it time for us to take this trip or go here or there? It's so good to stay in this exercise, to say, Lord, I am willing to pay the extra price to abide in the narrow way and also to pursue holiness. Tomorrow, I think we'll have fellowship about this point. In Isaiah, there's a verse, there's a path. And what is the street called in Isaiah? It's the way of holiness. If I stop to stand up against my flesh and against sin, then it will seep back into my life. May the Lord really keep us in the pursuing of holiness. It's a narrow way. It really is a narrow way. But the Lord shows us how we can go along this way. And the last point that I want to bring is that it is a way, the narrow path is to deny your soul life, to pursue holiness. And another aspect of it is to be willing to suffer for His sake, to go through difficulties. Why? Because we love the Lord. Who knows where the narrow path will lead us, where it will bring us. We are following the Lamb. Praise the Lord. That's why it says here at the end, the path that leads to life, and there are few who find it. That was Matthew 7:14. There are few who find it. That means we have to seek for it. And looking for something, seeking for something. I often notice in my prayer, I think, Lord, I need an answer. I have a decision to make, or I have a situation. I need help. Help me. What should I do? What decision should I make? But it's not just about receiving answers or receiving things or receiving help from the Lord. But rather, on this path, He walks before us. Who is walking before us? Christ. Sometimes when you have a decision, you're thinking A or B, this way or that way. And all you can see is the matter before you, but you don't see the Lord anymore. Oh, Lord, that's why this narrow path leads us to Christ. Let us not stop to really seek Him. Like with GPS and navigation systems, that you always see your live location. How does that work? There's always a connection to some sort of satellite, a connection to heaven, to the sky, right? And when that connection gets lost, then you can't find your position anymore. And that encouraged me also for this narrow way. Who knows where the Lord will lead us? Who knows where this narrow path will take us? But the Lord knows. We don't know, but the Lord knows. That's why we need this connection. Lord, I seek You. Lord, keep us on the narrow path until You come. That's why we not only have a kingdom and a vision that we should see, but the Lord really shows us His path. Praise the Lord that we find really a rich and abundant entrance into His kingdom. May the Lord really be merciful to us, that we seek Him along the narrow path, and not just find Him, but abide on this path until the Lord returns.